You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hello, Marvel Universe! The Earth Station MCU podcast is your home for all things related to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Join our debrief as we discuss Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, upcoming and past favorite Marvel movies, cosplay, comics history, toys, games, interviews, and all things MCU. Whether you're a hero or a villain, a new viewer, or have been reading comics since you were a kid, there's something for you on Earth Station MCU.
And welcome again to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. I am your host, The Monster. And as promised, I am finally delivering the Inhumans podcast review with my friend Jennifer from Earth Station MCU. So we recorded this conversation earlier this week, but because I didn't do the intro yet, I'm doing this on the way to work. So yay for multitasking. And hopefully not getting into an accident. But nonetheless, we had a great conversation, a good time, and it was short. And after you listen to the podcast, you will realize why it was short. So with that, take it away, Jennifer and me.
All right. So, like, again, thank you very much for being on this podcast. So I want to talk briefly because I followed your podcast when I joined the Earth Station Network. Because, unfortunately, I talk about how much I dislike Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I still follow it because, you know, someone said, you know, finish the last half of season one.
Exactly.
And it blew me away. It was fantastic. So I'm like, fine, I'm in. So, season two, the opening was great. I mean, we got Absorbing Man. We're getting really good storylines. So, all right, halfway there, we get to Puerto Rico, and we get the Inhuman storyline. That was a big gasp for me. Like, really? Right. We're going to... So the whole Phase 3, we'll talk about that in a moment, but tell me about what got you really hooked about talking about Marvel in general.
Well, I'm the kind of person that has always, you know, been interested in science fiction and fantasy stuff and so on and so forth. And I saw Iron Man and I loved it. And right. I will be honest, I did not grow up reading comics. I've read some. I mean, but it's all been things like Sandman and Mage and, you know, Books of Magic and things like that. Not the core superhero stuff. And but I saw Iron Man and I really, really liked it. And then I looked at, you know, what else they had coming out. They had Thor, and I picked up a Thor comic book and went, oh, no. Oh, no, this is not for me. This is just, this looks so dumb.
Right.
But then I saw Captain America, and I was like, okay, this is really cool, too. So I got hooked on the first few, and then I was like, well, I should go back and watch Thor. And then I saw, wait, Kenneth Branagh directed it? Now you got me. So I got on board with all of that and just started getting hooked. And I thought Tony Stark was just such an interesting character. I mean, he was a jerk, obviously. I like anti-heroes, though. I mean, I like Sherlock and I like House and, you know, all of these type characters. So so I thought that he was really interesting. And as the series went, the MCU continued to grow, I realized, and I was just talking with somebody about this evening, that the whole thing is basically Tony's story arc.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to see how he changes. And one of my theories is that that over Phase 1 and Phase 2, at least, Steve and Tony were on opposite trajectories. Steve was going from total faith in authority to total distrust of authority.
Right.
And Tony did the opposite. But as I, you know, as you look at the arc of everything, the only movies that are not involved with Tony's story are the Thor movies and the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else, all the stuff with Cap goes into Tony's daddy issues,
right.
And, you know, all of that. And you know, even something like Ant-Man. I mean, one of the main things in Ant-Man is the fact that Hank Pym hates Howard Stark so much,
right.
And that colors the entire progression of it. So I've just thought that the whole Tony Stark story arc has been fascinating, and that's what hooked me. And then I've gotten interested in all the other things as a result of that. And just I love seeing the way that they bring in things from the comics, they bring in things from other movies, that they just weave all of it together in a way that is so fascinating. And my first primary fandom for most of my life has been Doctor Who. And that's one of the fun things about that show is all of the references to stuff from, you know, years gone by, to you know, other doctors and villains and places and things. And so that's been another thing that has just really interested me in terms of the MCU.
Now, as you were going through the last couple of seasons, and
mm-hmm.
honestly, I think because you're the only show that I listen to consistently whenever I watch an episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I uh-huh. listen to you guys' commentary, because there are times in which I'm really struggling through this. Last season
mm-hmm.
was a big improvement, splitting the season in half,
mm-hmm.
bringing in Ghost Rider, and then we have the Hydra alternate storyline, mm-hmm. which was really incredible.
Oh, that was great, yes. And in between we had the LMD stuff, which was good, and they didn't drag it out for too long, which was good. And then we went into the Matrix, basically, and
yeah.
that was fantastic.
I think the major problem, the mm-hmm. expectation that after Winter Soldier, in which whatever happened in that movie crossovered mm-hmm. into that series,
right.
we had this kind of expectation of, what are you going to do?
Right.
So when it gets to Thor Dark World,
mm-hmm.
they're just there to clean up his mess.
Yep.
And they made a reference, and then there's an Asgardian in that episode. I'm like,
mm-hmm.
okay, and that's it.
Yeah, and it's very unfortunate, and it has largely to do with internal politics at Marvel.
Yeah.
And the fact that at first, the TV shows and movies were all under the same person,
right?
Kevin Feige, mm-hmm. and then Feige was not happy at the amount of interference he was getting from Ike Perlmutter,
right.
who is the big head honcho over Marvel, and so he basically got himself reassigned. So he reports directly to Disney, and doesn't report to Ike Perlmutter at all.
Mm-hmm.
Which, and this will tie in with our later conversation, but this is one of the, I think one of the turning points with that was that they had agreed to do an Inhumans movie because Ike Perlmutter loves the Inhumans.
Right.
And when Feige split off and started going directly to Disney, he's like, all right, well, we're not doing that. and Inhumans was jettisoned from the schedule.
Right.
But then Perlmutter was adamant that they had to do something with it because he loved it so much. And so it got pushed onto the TV folks, which is the whole topic we'll talk about later. But but it's a shame that the two have diverged so much. And it's disappointing to me that there isn't more crossover between the Netflix shows.
Right.
And the movies, or the Netflix shows and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or anything like that. Part of what was interesting about the MCU was the way that they tied everything together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very unfortunate that the choice that they have made is to start splitting all the pieces apart again, because I really think that's going to diminish the whole. I think that having them, you know, cross-pollinate was good for everybody. It was good for story. It was good for world building. And it's also good for, you know, for promotions, because, you know, if you feel like, well, I got to see Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. so that I'll know what's going on in the next movie.
Right.
And, you know, that directs people to the other properties. I certainly wouldn't have gone to see Thor if I didn't know he was going to be in Avengers.
Right.
And I'm so glad that I did.
Now, let me ask this question, because I really don't get to talk to enough people about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but your thoughts about Coulson being brought back, as opposed to, oh, well, don't the Avengers know that he's alive? Keeping that a secret. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, so part of that is I think that it would have made sense to keep it, you know, maybe secret for a while. But then, you know, by the time we got to Age of Ultron, because actually in Age of Ultron, they did, this is one place where they actually wove it together reasonably well.
Right.
Right before Age of Ultron, it's interesting that, what's his name? Sitwell. In an episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. gets a phone call, and they're like, where are you going? And he said, I got to get on a boat. And then, like, the beginning of Age of Ultron, you see, or actually, is it Age of Ultron? Yeah, it is. You see him on a boat. And that's the thing with Cap and Black Widow having to go in and rescue people and so on and so forth. Is that Winter Soldier? No,
it is Winter Soldier.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, that's cool. You're right.
But I think Nick Fury does make reference to that he needs to get a boat. He has to call in a favor, and that was Coulson.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's right. And at the beginning of Age of Ultron, they're going to find the spear. And that's something that Coulson has just found out about, and they had a nice crossover bit where he talked to Maria Hill.
Yes.
And said, here's this intelligence, and she's like, okay, great, I'm going to pass that on. So that was a place where they kind of tangentially, you know, wove it together, but that would have been the right point, I think, for them to find out that Coulson's still alive. But that was right at the point that the movies and the TV shows started to diverge.
Right.
And I think they decided, we're not gonna open that can of worms, because otherwise if we do, then we're gonna have to involve both sides together. And so I think that's the reasoning, like the out of world reasoning, the real reasoning. As far as in world, I don't know. It makes no sense. It makes no sense. It also makes no sense as to why Coulson has never been to Hell's Kitchen and seen all the stuff that's going on with the Defenders. So you just kind of have to hand wave it.
Yeah, and unfortunately, one of the things that I'm like, when they started to introduce the Inhuman storyline, I got really excited about this, and we see, I think season three, we see more of the Inhumans, Chloe's parents being more involved in that storyline, and then, of course, that movie got canceled, but then we got the TV series, so kind of flash forward a bit. This past September, I was up in Dragon Con, which you were away on vacation, but I got to see this in the movie theaters, unfortunately.
Oh, cool.
And, I mean, I knew going in, it didn't look great, but you know what? I want to be surprised.
Sure.
By something. And for the most part, I think there were some moments that I actually thought, this is kind of interesting. I like Karnak for the most part.
Yes, he is my favorite character.
Very enjoyable.
I love him to bits.
Yeah.
It's a great actor, and at first they were writing him really well, and then what the hell happened in the last couple of episodes?
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, so because in the course of the storyline, he's on Earth and he's trying to make his way, he falls down and bumps his head and bleeding.
Right.
And now his powers are gone wacky, or at least doesn't seem to have everything there, so to speak. So to me, the way that started to go downhill was due to a specific person, which we agree is the producer, the executive producer, the Scott.
Yep.
Buck.
Yep. Rhymes with what we think about. Yes.
Is what they said on Discovery twice.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, if you have watched Iron Fist, and mm-hmm. if you weren't pleased by the fact of how Danny Rand was portrayed, and or the mm-hmm. character, or the action sequences, everything, there seems to be a correlation. And from what I gather from my research is that he does things quick, he does, mm-hmm. brings it in on time, he does things cheap. So
right.
it didn't feel like, well, if you're going to do it on TV, why are you rushing this all of a sudden
yeah.
to bring it before? And it does feel cheap, because
yep.
here's Lockjaw. Now, Lockjaw's asleep, or he got run over. So you're going to keep things at a minimum with special
exactly.
effects.
Exactly. And that's the thing, is that one of the things that everyone was looking forward to about this was, for once, we were finally going to have a show where everybody has superpowers.
Right,
it's,
exactly.
You know, it's not like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. where you've got like one or two or three people.
Right.
Everybody has cool powers. And they've got these long backstories, and everybody was excited about it.
Yes.
And in that first episode or double episode, mm-hmm. you got to see them using their powers a little bit. And Karnak, in addition to being a great actor, I thought his power set was just so cool
right.
in the way that they depicted that. And then basically everybody gets neutered, you know?
Yes.
Medusa loses her yep.
shaved head.
Exactly. Which, thank God, because every time she was on screen, I was just like, oh God, I don't even want to see this. But yeah, so basically everybody's cool, nifty powers get taken away.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the big thing that everybody was looking forward to, you're not delivering on. And admittedly, that was a complaint, you know, early on with S.H.I.E.L.D. as well, was that, you know, well, this is a Marvel thing. Why are we not seeing superheroes? Well, because, you know, TV show, you can't show superheroes every week because we don't have the money for it.
Right.
On the other hand, with Inhumans, it's like, well, you had the money to make it IMAX.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, the IMAX funded the first two episodes, and, like,
yep.
we put in a big screen, the rest is all you guys, and no. It boggles my mind, the fact that, okay, you do IMAX, I'm in, but what did you do differently from anything else on TV? I didn't see anything that I didn't see before. So.
Exactly. Unlike something like the Doctor Who 50th anniversary special,
mm-hmm.
which when you saw it in 3D, it really made a difference, and
right.
it was really, really worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
I did not see it in IMAX because I just just basically was like, I don't know about this.
Yeah.
And as soon as I heard from people like you, I was like, and I made the right decision. I'm not going to rush right out and try and catch that before it disappears. I'm going to wait for TV.
There was a perfect sign about how bad it was. The movie mm-hmm. theater that there was actually people in there were waiting to watch this.
Uh-huh.
They played Dunkirk instead of the Inhumans. And I'm like,
wow.
We're all watching Inhumans, right? And I'm like, yeah, but it seems like we're in the wrong theater. So I'm looking at it, a couple of people.
Uh-huh.
We'll look for the office manager or the manager on
uh-huh.
duty. It's like, you got the wrong movie up there. And like, then they switched it. But I'm like, man,
oh,
they're trying to tell us something here. Not to take anything away from Dunkirk.
You didn't want to just watch? Sure you didn't want to watch Dunkirk instead? Probably
yeah, a little morbid, but man, it's much, much better, you know?
Yeah.
So, but as far as performances, as far mm-hmm. as these actors, there's not a whole lot that I know of except for Maximus.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he's from... I cannot pronounce his name.
Game of Thrones?
Yeah, Game of Thrones.
Ewan, I had to Google it.
Yeah,
talking about it on the show. But it's like Ewan, I don't remember.
Yeah.
That guy.
What I love about him, because there was a show he did before Game of Thrones, in which mm-hmm. he plays Simon on a show called Misfits.
Yeah.
And
yes,
he
yes,
is
that's right.
the most likable character, because he's so timid. And I'm like,
he's just very sweet. Yes.
So I'm like,
so yes, it's a character. He's an actor that has a lot of range.
Right.
But clearly they just wanted to cast him as the scenery chewing villain in this.
Right.
But then the irony is, if you actually stop and think about it, he's the good guy.
Yes.
You know?
Because exactly, he goes against the caste system. Makes perfect
exactly.
sense.
Exactly. He's the one that's saying this is unfair. This is, you know, this is all. I mean, there's so many political things that you can say about this, about privilege and about, you know, people being born into something,
right.
and prejudice. And there's such a rich, you know, there's so much that could be said and that needs to be said right now.
Exactly.
And they just are like, wahaha, he's evil.
Right.
Really? Really, that's what you took away from this? Wow.
Yeah, and I'm working with people on Earth to kidnap Black Bolt and, like...
Oh, my God.
Seriously, this is what you're going to be doing.
Yeah, I was thinking that's a hell of a cell phone that Declan has. Because he's just talking to him on a cell phone, and I'm like, okay, we'll just hand wave that too. Why
yeah,
not?
And all the Inhumans have, you know, their little Inhuman Fitbits that
right?
they love. So I'm like, okay.
Yes, their Inhuman Fitbits, exactly.
And even then, it's just, that's the best technology that you can do. Fine,
yeah.
we'll go with that. We'll go with the fact that Lockjaw is, he's somewhere in the scene, barely.
Mm-hmm.
We cut off all the superpowers, fine, but then you give us nothing to even work with. Even with
yeah.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., if there's nothing remotely interesting about these characters,
mm-hmm.
there is nothing on God's green earth that's going to save a series. Because
right.
I put up with Coulson because there are times in which he does something incredibly funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like one time he pretended to be a hologram. That
uh-huh.
it was a ruse. And then he broke into a whole Princess Leia thing. And
yes.
I was just like, I laughed my ass off because of that line. And I'm like...
Absolutely. And I mean, when S.H.I.E.L.D. has an off week,
yeah.
it is still fun to watch for... I like the grown-ups on the show, I admit.
Yeah.
I like Coulson and I like May. And I like Fitz. I am like, if you listen to my show,
uh-huh.
I am like the biggest Fitz cheerleader in the world, because I think that the actor is great, and he's somebody who, even when he doesn't have lines, if you watch him in a scene, he's outstanding.
Yeah.
But yeah, you have to have characters, you know, that are interesting enough that even when the plot of the week isn't going to really carry it, because not every episode is going to be great. You have to care about these characters, and not only do I not care about these characters, you know, you can have a show like Breaking Bad, you
mm-hmm.
know, where the lead character is a terrible, terrible human being, and yet you can't help but want to know what happens next.
Right.
And with all of the Inhumans that are on Earth, I completely do not care. I
mm-hmm.
wish they would just shut up, and I don't care what happens to them.
Yeah.
There's no sense of immediacy, no sense of consequences, and they're jerks. They're spoiled, entitled jerks. And I interestingly, that's very much how I felt about Danny Rand.
Yeah.
That he was an entitled jerk who had powers that didn't work half the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, it was just such a missed opportunity, because I know people who absolutely love Danny Rand in the comics, and they're like, you know what, that was okay as a prequel, you know, like that
right,
would have
been a setup.
But there was no growth.
Mm-hmm.
there was no, you know, there was no Tony Stark moment of, oh my God, what am I doing? I have to get my act together and be a better person. He never had any great awakening. He's still an entitled jerk.
Right.
So, I mean, hopefully some of the stuff that Luke Cage said to him in Defenders will sink in. But, And it might, now that Scott Buck is not involved in Iron Fist Season 2. But yeah, that's the problem with Inhumans, is that I just don't care. They're spoiled people, and I don't care. I think that Maximus's story is much more interesting, but they're not really doing much with it. I mean, like I said, there's so much opportunity to say so much, and they're just not going there.
Yeah, and then I remember reading one of the interviews saying, well, does anyone from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. know that there are people from the moon that's on Earth? And I'm like,
yes.
Who? Chloe.
Exactly.
Chloe.
Yeah.
How?
Yep.
Oh, God, really? We're going...
Yeah.
All right, fine. So we're going to have to muster through this last couple episodes, and and that's going to be it, supposedly. I don't think we're all going to get a season two.
I cannot imagine they would give this a season two. I mean, you know, when you look at this and you're like, you canceled Agent Carter...
For this,
and
yes.
For this, not for this, but, you know, look at Marvel's
room.
Most
yeah.
Wanted.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that they shot a pilot for it, and it was going to be, you know, Mockingbird and
husband, Bobby.
Lance Hunter. Yeah. And that sounded like that had potential. They had some really great actors attached to it, and they chose to not make that. And chose to make this instead. And like I said, I get that it's basically because Ike Perlmutter wanted it to happen, and so it was going to happen. Although it is interesting when you think about it that it is entirely my conspiracy theory with this show is that the reason why it's so terrible is that they're like, okay, if Uncle Ike is going to make us make this show, then we are going to put the worst showrunner on it. We're going to put all of our B-team writers on it, and okay, Uncle Ike, we made the show. Are you happy now?
Right.
You know?
Here's your X-Men, now shut up.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know, speaking of X-Men, it's really a contrast when you look at The Gifted, because it's on, you know, the same time that we're watching Inhumans, and The Gifted is knocking it out of the park, I think. You know, they've got great actors, they've got good writing. You know, it's not perfect. It's got its bumps, but you know, it's they are, you know, deploying their special effects budget well in terms of, you know, that obviously it's limited, but they're using it well. And when you just look at that compared to Inhumans, it's like, oh my God, what are you guys doing?
Yeah. And again, it goes back to, again, we talked about the characters, the story, and then, I mean, we're only watching this because we are fans of Marvel.
Right.
And we know the property. Unfortunately, the property is not being done very well, and that's sad, unfortunately.
Exactly. I mean, for people who love the comics, I think that they're even more upset than those of us who don't know the comics.
Yeah.
Because they see so much wasted potential and so much, you know, very much like with Iron Fist, they're like, this should be awesome, and it's completely not.
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me of, like, well... Before we had this big rush of MCU and DC movies and TV properties, you know, Smallville was really big on the no flights, no tights rule, in which, you know what, we're not doing superhero, but we'll give you some action that's, you know, every once in a while you'll get your Superman fix.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine, but here it's just you've cut everything out of this.
Yeah.
Property that makes it worth your time. So,
exactly.
Again, there's nothing for us to go through except, all right, episode 5? All right, let's go. Let's take care of this.
How many more of these do we have to get through?
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I want to be like, oh, okay, at least that ended on a high note or a good note, or like, God, this is just, forget it. Which,
yeah, and I mean, even if they, I know that they're limited in how much they can play around with stuff, but even if they dropped a couple of Easter eggs in an episode, and at least gave us something, some little bit of fan service, so we could go, oh, at least they did this.
Yeah, and there was...
They're not giving us anything.
There was one line in which Black Bolt was in prison with one of the Hawaiian prisoners, and he discovers that he's also inhuman. But he was like, did you get bitten by a radioactive spider?
Right.
And I'm like,
right.
How much of Spider-Man's storyline is all out there that everyone knows about the radioactive bug? Because if I remember,
there's that, but they do also sort of in a sideways way, you know, refer to Terrigenesis,
right?
And you know, the fish pills and things like that. Mm-hmm. So we did get a little bit of crossover there,
right,
with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But you know, man, there's, you know, there's still a whole you know, 60 years worth of comics, more than that, that you could find things to tie in, and it's just not happening.
Yeah. Or speaking of which, I forgot to mention, and you brought up The Gifted, Stan Lee making a cameo.
Yes!
And not in the Humans. He's like,
yes,
no, I may not have long for this earth. I don't have time to waste on Inhumans.
Yeah, that's pretty sad.
So, all right, well, you know, we're not going to beat the horse to death because the horse is already dead, unfortunately. But, Jennifer, thank you very much for being a guest on my show.
Absolutely.
I cannot wait to listen to your show. Mm-hmm. Are you going to do it every week or when Agents picks up? Or
We're probably going to do every other week because I'm in a doctoral program,
right,
and I'm pretty incredibly slammed with work.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to get in a couple of special episodes before Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. starts.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully something, we may do an Inhumans recap or we may just not.
It's just like, we'll talk about it.
Exactly. I just want to like pretend it doesn't exist. We were going to do that, but now I'm kind of having second thoughts about
that.
But we'll probably do an episode on Thor and an episode on Punisher, which I think is coming out before Agents comes back, but
either
I'm not
way,
really sure.
Either way, better properties are coming back.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed.
All right. So thank you again, Jennifer. I really appreciate this.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So that's going to be the end of our podcast. So again, many, many thanks to Jennifer for joining me on this special Inhumans podcast. If you would like to hear more from her, again, her podcast is Earth Station MCU for all things MCU. And then, of course, you can always email me at monstersci-fi show@gmail.com. Follow me on the various social networks. And again, thank you very so much for listening to me and to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. It's sci-fi from a certain point of view. Good night.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.